Would you do me the favour of shuffling these cards, dear sir?
With great irritation, Mr. Smith rearranges the deck. He hands it back to Dr. Van Ripple, who shuffles the cards again and again, making polite chatter the entire time, like a born showman. At last, he places his white-gloved hand upon the deck and pronounces,
"You hold the Ace of Spades, dear lady, do you not?"
Astonished, I show him the ace. "However did you do it?" His eyes twinkle.
"The rules of magic, my dear, are best not discussed, for once we understand the illusion, we no longer believe in it."
"He's marked the cards," Mr. Smith huffs, indignant.
"Sheer fakery."
Dr. Van Ripple tips his hat and produces a frog from inside it. The frog hops onto the shoulder of a very startled Mr. Smith.
"Ah, slimy beast!"
The photographer nearly topples his own table trying to get away. The crowd laughs.
"Dear me,"
Dr. Van Ripple says.
"Perhaps we should stand elsewhere."
The doctor hobbles ahead, leading us past other exhibitions. A painted Turk's head pushes fortunes out of its mechanical mouth. A snake dancer balances a giant serpent across her shoulders, undulating slowly as the beast coils and slithers. A man holding a stuffed bird trumpets the wonders of a travelling museum of natural history. I even spy Madame Romanoff, otherwise known as Sally Carney of Bow's Bells, conducting a séance. I once took this false spiritualist to the realms by accident. We lock eyes, and Sally abruptly ends her reading. Dr. Van Ripple pauses before a statue of Osiris to mop his brow with a handkerchief.
"Ah, Mr. Smith was nothing more than a photographer, it would seem."
"Your card trick was most impressive," Anne says.
"You are too kind. Allow me to present myself properly. I am Dr. Theodore Van Ripple, master illusionist, scholar, and gentleman, at your service."
"How do you do? I am Gemma Dowd," I say, giving my mother's maiden name. Anne holds fast to Nan Washbrad, whilst Felicity becomes Miss Anthrope. "Dr. Van Ripple, I do recall hearing of you," I begin. "I believe my mother attended one of your shows." His eyes sparkle with interest.
"Ah, here in London? Or was it perhaps in Vienna or Paris? I have played for both princes and the populace."
"It was here in London, I am sure," I offer. "Yes, she said it was a most marvellous spectacle. She was amazed by your talents." The doctor positively glows with the adulation.
"Splendid, splendid. Tell me, which illusion did she prefer? The disappearing doll or the glass of ruby smoke?"
I think she rather fancied both."
"They are my specialties. How marvellous," he cranes, searching the crowd. "And is your dear mother with you here tonight?"
"I'm afraid not," I say. "I do remember that she said there was one illusion which thrilled her beyond all the others. It was one in which a beautiful lady was placed into a trance and instructed to write upon a slate." Dr. Van Ripple regards me warily. His voice has a chill in it.
"The illusion you speak of belonged to my assistant. She was a medium of sorts. I no longer perform that trick. Not since her tragic disappearance 3 years ago."
"She disappeared during the performance," Anne gasps.
"Dear me, no,"
Dr. Van Ripple replies. He fluffs his collar, and I imagine that in his day he was quite the dandy. "What happened to her?" I prod.
"My associate suggested she ran away with a sailor, or perhaps joined a circus."
He shakes his head.
"But I think otherwise, for she claimed she was being hunted by dark forces. I am quite certain she was murdered."
"Murdered?" we say as one. Dr. Van Ripple is not one to lose an audience of any sort, even for a tale so unseemly as this one promises to be.
"Indeed, she was a woman of many secrets, and, I am sorry to say, she proved quite untrustworthy. She came to me when she was but a girl of 20, and I knew very little of her life, other than that she was an orphan, who had lived away at school for a time.